We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It is time to take time for Jesus, and we're living today in the days that the Lord spoke about when he was on the Mount of Olives there, speaking to the apostles in his time that he spent on the earth when they asked him for the signs of the return of the kingdom of God. But my friends, today, if we're not living in those times, we are surely into a world of trouble, because I believe in my heart that we're living in perilous times. It grieves me to see that the things that are happening in the world, but at the same time, the scripture says to look up and rejoice, because we know that our redemption draweth nigh. So we're living now in the midnight hour, I do believe. We're living at the time that the time that was coming upon the world is when Jesus spoke about. If we would read in the Word of God and believe what it says, by going it to the scriptures in Matthew 24, and it would start you there and it would carry you on through the times. But until that time, we need to be prepared. Don't be like the five foolish virgins and let your cares of this life and of this world carry you away, that you would not be a witness of the beloved Savior, and allow the world to come into your life so much until you become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of the Lord. So we understand that the days that we're living in is close to the return of our Lord. So let us believe and have faith in him, taking time out of our busy schedule to give praise and honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, we're going to go to prayer. We pray that God would bless those that have wrote to us, and they have needs of various different ways. And I just pray that God would bless them and has blessed them. And we look to him to be the author and the finisher of their faith as well as mine own, believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we need to be faithful to him, my friend. God will hear and answer our prayer if we pray sincerely by talking to him as we would to our Heavenly Father or to the minister that is a man called preacher. Now, some of them is kindly opposite from it, but nevertheless, we need to go to the Word of God and find out the truth. Many that the Lord told him would come in his name, saying that they were the Christ. Many false teachers have come. As you well know, if you believe what the scripture says, I've seen them happening, seen them go by the wayside, because the things that happens in their lives of adultery or one thing or another, that they go by the wayside simply because they've lost their vision or they never had the truth of God's word. So as we attempt to bring forth that which the Lord has laid on our heart, we want to encourage you, read your Bible, be faithful to the Lord, and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, for the time is running short. Whether the world wants to realize it or not, some people think that, oh, the world's going to go on for eons of times, but my friend, you look about, you will find in the book of that is written that we call the Bible, Matthew 24, it's being fulfilled right in yours in my day, and the coming of the Lord is near. So my wife's got something other here she wants to bring forth, and we're going to give it to her now and let her know. So stay tuned and listen to what she has to say, because I believe that it would be food for your soul and a thought for your mind to think of the things of God and prepare for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Well, I just thank the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon for this opportunity to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And we pray that you'll be blessed by what you hear And as we enter these last days, we need to read the Bible more. Brother Compton keeps telling you, read the Bible. You hear preachers preaching everything. And when I go to church or wherever I go, I take a notepad. I write things down so that when I can get home and I can look up the scriptures myself and see what they say. And because there's a lot of them now that they have their own interpretation. The Bible says it's not for your own private interpretation, but by the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then there's no way that you'll be able to understand it. But I just thank the Lord that I do have the Holy Ghost, and He does lead me and He guides me. And as we study a lot together and everything, but we do read the Bible a lot. And that's the only way that you're going to know what it says. You can go to church on Sunday, you can go on Wednesday night, or whenever. And only listen to what the preacher has to say. And you leave the church and if you don't even have a Bible, you need to get one and read it. Read it every day. It's the food for your soul. And that's what we need in these last days. And we're praying that you'll have a closer walk with God. I appreciate the emails that we get from people, you know, saying that it is a blessing to them. But if you have something you don't like, you can email us to that too. But you can get us on 24/7 on your electronic devices, whatever you have, at www.phoenixbroadcasting.com. Take time for Jesus, and you can go in there and listen to our broadcast from 2012 all the way through up to the last day that we'll make it today. But I want to share with you today that 1:12, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and noble day of the Lord come. And that's Acts 2:20. The midnight hour is upon us, the long foretold hour of darkness unparalleled in the world's history. One by one, the lights are going out. Church attendance, observance of the Lord's Day, legal restraint on social evils such as abortion, gambling, growing immorality, internet and TV, pornography, and loss of marital faithfulness, dark, foreboding, and fearful. Midnight is close upon us. Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. World calamities, international terrorism, revolutions, and epidemics. All these are like the sounds of many bells ringing out the advance notes before the striking of the midnight hour. The darkest night in the world's history is coming upon us. Please do not take it by surprise. The Bible has warned us. History has taught us the utter futility of the feverish efforts of sinful man to save himself. It cannot be done. It was for this purpose that God sent his beloved Son Jesus to die on the cross as a willing and perfect sacrifice. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin and saves us from eternity in hell. If you are a Christian, the midnight hour is near. Rejoice and faint not. Hold on. Let fear be gone. The great hour for which you have waited is about to strike. The King, long absent, for whom your loving hearts have secretly mourned at the mention of whose name, Jesus, your hearts have oft-times leaped for joy. The King is on his way. Blessed midnight hour of hope, hour of joy, hour of gladness. For the King is the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is your Savior. Awake, arise from the dust. Shake from your garments all the soiling contents of the fallen world. Wipe away your tears. Lift up your eyes to the shining of the glorious Sun of Righteousness. Wait patiently for a little while longer, and the hour shall strike, the midnight hour of gladness and of joy, when you shall go to ever to be with your Lord. And if you are not a Christian, yes, the midnight hour is upon you, the hour of God's terrible judgment if you are not his child. It will be the hour of fate and doom. for all those who are not saved by the blood of Christ. The King is coming. The hour is about to strike. The hour of your judgment. It shall be returned to you. The measure you gave is a measure you shall receive. The seed you have sown shall now bear its full harvest. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 2 Peter 3:7. Cry for the rocks to hide you from the wrath of the King. The King is your judge. He will punish your wickedness and disclose your hypocrisy. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's Revelation 6:16. The blood of Christ. Hold on a minute, you say. You are not wicked. You're a good person. However, you have despised the blood of Jesus Christ and counted it an unholy thing when you rejected his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. But the Lord is merciful. Confess to him that you are sorry for the life you have been living and ask him to forgive you. Tell him that by faith you received Jesus and you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again after 3 days. By accepting his great sacrifice on the cross, you are assured of salvation and forgiveness of your sins and now have a place for all eternity. The King is coming. It is almost the midnight hour. Are you ready to meet the King? And at the midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25:6-13. And that's you're in your Bible. It's the King James Version. And I urge you, as Brother Compton does all the time, read your Bible. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. Jesus may not come tomorrow, but you're not guaranteed tomorrow, and neither am I. Today is the day of salvation. If you have something that you would like to share, I urge you to send it to us to Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 3382, Tampa, Florida, and take time for Jesus, and I'll be glad to share it. It doesn't make any difference if it's something that you're ashamed to share with the world because you'll be persecuted. Send to us. We'll share it with the world. And if the world persecute us, remember, they persecuted Jesus before, and they crucified him. If they crucify us, what can we say? It's only a short trip to glory. May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, amen. We know that according to the scriptures, the time of the return of our Lord is intimate. It's right upon us. We'll read the scriptures in Matthew 24, and not only there, but others that it would give you the reference to. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even in Revelation, Daniel spoke of it, and even the prophet Isaiah spoke about it. He looked into the future as far, if not further, than any of the prophets of his day, and seen that the time that would come forth, a refreshing, a time of rejoicing, in the New Jerusalem. So we need to understand, my friend, biblically, we are living in the last days. We're now approaching, as it was said, the midnight hour. We are living in a time of despair, trouble on every hand, and times is coming to the place that we're in that people are running to and fro, and knowledge has increased, and these things that were spoken about in Daniel's time about how that they would run to and fro and how that knowledge would increase and how that they come along, and these things are upon us today. We read in the scriptures there in there with the second coming of our Lord, we find in many times there that how that he told them there when Matthew, when they come to him and asked him as they was on Mount of Olives there, asked him what would be the signs of these things and the event before his return. And he began to tell them as he sat there on the Mount of Olives, he described his disciples came privately asked him, tell us, when will these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and some in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. That do you find in Matthew 24. My friend, today we have seen these things being fulfilled. We hear about how that different parts of the country, how that children and people are going without food and without things that sustain them in their life, that are necessary things. When people in some parts of the world are throwing away more than some people are having to eat. So, my friend, today we're looking at perilous times. We're living in that time that is nigh unto the end. These things are here. We're having the wars and rumors of wars. Ever since I can remember, and I've done got well past the 80 mark. So it's time that we take heed. I've heard about the wars. I know World War II broke out. Well, I wasn't around during World War I and the Spanish and American War and these things, but they've been here. The tribes of the Indians and the war between Mexico and all these things have been coming along all these years and it's come along. World War II coming when I was about 8 years old, and it was there. The nations come up together and to fight against a foe that was evident or instigated by the devil himself in Hitler and Hirohito and them that tried to conquer the world. Well, we know that even in the biblical times and how Rome faced the world and was become a great empire, and how the others come along. My friend, today we're living in a day of troubles and trials and tribulations. We're coming to the place that we're in that these things are being fulfilled. We just the other day that they had an earthquake happening, 8.0 magnitude. Didn't cause a lot of damage, but my friend, today we never know that there's a time. They say that the Yellowstone National Park is sitting right on top of a great volcano that could happen any time. My friends, these days are perilous times. We're looking at the wars that are with not only them that have done been, but them that are to come. How that the in the east over there, how the kingdoms are fighting against the kingdoms. How that this tribe wants to kill the others to bring to make them big time. But my friend, these things must come to pass. The Lord spoke about it. He said, don't be troubled. In other words, just these things must be. And the things that are coming, they're come to be the time. So these people are saying differently when not what the scripture says is false prophet. The time is upon us. We need to get it right. We need to be like the five wise virgins, have oil in our lamp. And there to share with the gospel with the people of the world today that have not this oil. This oil, look at it. And the Bible speaks about that if with without his Spirit, you're none of his. But we need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. We need to understand that the Bible is going to be fulfilled whether you and I like it or not. I cherish it. I believe that we're living now in the fulfillment of time that Jesus spoke about. You see that how the Gentiles have, when Israel was put out and scattered throughout the nations, it's true that they beginning to come back, but the time of the Gentiles is not yet over with. They trampled on Jerusalem and around and about, and it is. We look into the time there that possibly maybe that the Arabs and the Jewish will have cohabit on the Temple Mount, and the, when the time that it was given a reed, when John was to measure the temple, he said to leave the courts that are out without, because it's given unto the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I believe that time is pretty close upon being fulfilled. The time that the Lord spoke about that all these nations going to rise against Israel, as they were spoken about in the Bible there, and there with the time that is to come, we got to realize, my friend, that's why I encourage you to read your Bible. Many have come in the name of the Lord. Many have said that they were the Christ. You remember how that one took a bunch of people over in another country over there and gave them poison Kool-Aid in Texas, declared to be the Messiah, got a bunch of people killed there. How that in the past, we read the history there and how they come about, that they claimed that they were something that they were not, but they were false Christ. My friend, it's time we believe what the Word of God says. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we're baptized into one body. Jesus came into this world to die for sinners such as you and I. He came here to pay that atoning price that you and I could not pay. He came here to let us know that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And Paul, even to him at his time on the road to Damascus, he was a well-educated man about the law, but he knew nothing about Jesus Christ because Cornelius didn't even realize who he was. But Paul on the road to Damascus, when that great light above the noonday sun shined down around about him, and he fell to the earth, and he cried out, "Lord, who art thou?" And it was no other name given there, but Jesus himself told him, he said, "Paul, it's hard to kick against the prick." And he said, "Well, who are you? Who art thou?" He said, "I am Jesus of whom thou persecuted." We know that how Paul minded the clothes there while Stephen's being stoned to death by calling upon the name of the Lord. And his face lit up like an angel. Paul may have been reminded about that great light when he said, "Lord, who art thou?" I want you to think about it, my friend. This God that I'm speaking about, his name is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. The sonship of God was a flesh that he prepared for him to come and die on Calvary's cross. There's not no two of them or three of them, as some harlot churches want to preach it. There's three in the Godhead. God's not divided, my friend. And soon the world is going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God himself, coming in the clouds of glory to receive his that have been born again and take them out of the troubles. But before then, we're going to have to understand that there's going to be troubles around the world, such as we have not, maybe not yet ever seen. But we're looking at the things. We've seen that how the storms are happening, the earthquakes are happening, how these volcanoes have erupted recently, and how that the wars and the rumors of war. How that the United States pulled out of Iraq and said that we left them there in good hands. Them people have fought with one another for centuries, and they will continue to do so as long as there is a time that man will be upon the face of the earth. But God's got it all under control. He's going to bring an end to all of the fierceness, all wars and rumors of wars and all the tribulations and all the things that are happening around the world. He's going to bring forth a new world, a new world order that these people are wanting to bring forth, that wherein man has the rule over. Some dude sitting over there in Italy, they want to be king of kings and lord of lords. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. He claims to be God on earth, and God dwells in temples not made with hand, but I don't think he dwells in that one. But I want you to think about it. When he received of the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. God established it to be so. Joel prophesied of it. He said, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit. Peter on the day of Pentecost said, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. In the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. The Spirit of God has come forth, but many people have rejected it, and they denied it. They'd even deny the Christ that came and died for them. They trample the blood that he shed for them under their feet by doing things that are ungodly. They're saying that this is the way God made me, and I'm all right, and then this and that, but they have not repented. Or they raise their hand and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And they go their own way and do all their own things. And that's not repentance, my friend. Repentance means you walk in the newness of life. You turn aside from the sins that you've been committed into and turn and walk in a different direction. My friend, today we got to realize that this God that I preach, this man called Jesus, came into this world to die for you. He didn't come in to save you in your sins, but to come to save you from your sins. And he's coming back one day in the clouds of glory and to receive them that have received him, believed on him and called upon his name in repentance. And to them that does not know him is going to mourn, and they're going to run for the rocks and the mountains and call on to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. And there's going to be such a tribulation in those days until the Bible says if those days are not shortened, that even no flesh shall be saved. My friend, but for the elect's sake, for them that know God, for them that are come to be known by him, their names are recorded upon the Lamb's Book of Life, there, them days will be shortened for their benefit, and he's going to take them out. If you read the scriptures about when Noah, God told him to build an ark. He had Noah to build the ark. It means that we've got some work to do. And that's to lift up that precious name of Jesus. You got to repent. There's some things you're going to have to do that God is not going to do for you, but he requires us to do some things. First, we got to repent. We got to call upon the name of the Lord. We've got to serve him with our substance as well as with our soul, mind, and body. We got to understand that he is the God of the universe. He created it all. He made man in his own image and in his likeness. But the devil came along and deceived Eve, and then she gave to Adam, and Adam did, because of one disobedience, the first Adam disobeyed God, got us into trouble, but the second Adam was made a quickening spirit, which is Jesus Christ, came to redeem us from our sins that were in that we fell in Adam's disobedience. One thing he disobeyed in and caused the whole world to go into sin. My friend, it's time we begin to call upon that man called Jesus. It's beginning the time that we need to look into the scriptures and find that our only hope is in him. It's not in the world and in the present administration that we're under, wherever you may be, under rulers of kings and them kind. The only king that we need to be subject to is King Jesus, because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. If we are not subject to him, no matter how much you may be for this political organization or that one or church organization or whatever, and you got involved into those and you believe that, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, my friend, you're still lost. You're lost without any hope without him. The whole world would be lost if he had not have come into the world. My friend, because the blood of animals couldn't save us. But there was Noah, he had to build the ark. And when it was finished, God told him to come into the ark. He went into the ark, and 7 days of grace, the door stayed open, and no one entered in. But when God shut the door and the lightning flashed and the thunder roared and the water began to fall. It was time for a revival, but it was too late. They prayed and they sought, no doubt, trying to climb to the highest place to get out of the water, but it didn't come. So when the time of our Lord Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, and they were, these things begin to happen, and the church is took out, what's going to be here to revive you? The Spirit of God be lifted off, and without my Spirit, he said, you're none of mine. And except the Spirit draweth you, you cannot come. So if the Spirit of God not be here, and to draw you unto the kingdom of God, and unto the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's nothing there to draw you, why, what are you going to do? You'll be left without any hope. My friend, those that in the Noah's time was caught outside the ark, and the flood destroyed them. The time of the Lord Jesus comes and raptures his church out and takes them on to be with him. There's going to be some weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be some crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on. The sun's going to be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. And all these things are going that the Bible speaks about is going to be fulfilled. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, it's going to be. And to them that would believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have to worry about it because they're going to be taken into the arms of the faith of Jesus Christ. And in his care, he will keep them. But them that are lost outside, then they have not known Jesus, and he don't know them. Their name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world. They're going to be out in the cold. They're the one that's going to run for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. But them that knows him and the power of his resurrection is looking up and rejoicing at his return and be changed in a moment of the eye, a twinkling of the eye, from mortal to immortality, from corruption to incorruption. He said, we'll meet them in the air. There they will ever be with the Lord. But there's going to come a time there that Jesus is going to come back again. And he's going to bring his saints with him. Before they can come back with him, my friend, they've got to first go to it. No man has entered into heaven as yet, except him that come down out of heaven. But the Spirit, them that are up under the altar, crying out, holy and truly, how long will it be before you revenge the blood? A white robe was given unto them and told them to wait a little while until their fellow servants had been killed, possibly for his name's sake, or until the fullness of time came. My friend, it's coming to the place that we're in that we got to realize that these things that Jesus spoke to the apostles about, that the time that the signs that they could look to and to know that they're being there to come in close to the time, you and I are looking at them. The apostles seen a little bit of it, but we're seeing a lot of it. We're seeing these things. As I said, the wars and the rumors of wars have been going on for years and years. Ever since I can remember, and like I said, I'm past 80, so ever since I can remember from a boy, there's been wars all around. Read in the history back even before then and see that how many wars has been fought even from the time of the beginning. And we'll see that these wars are being fought because the God of this world has put it into the minds of these people that don't know God and don't want to have him, and put it in to try to destroy that which God has birthed by the new birth, his people, the church, in other words, that he has set in order. He came to save that which was lost, and the devil is out as a roaring lion seeking that he may devour and trying to destroy the people that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his goal. That's what he's wanted. He persuaded a third part of the angels to follow him in a quest to overthrow the throne of God, but he got kicked out of heaven. But now that his battle is fought and the angels of God fought against him and throwed him out, and he's no more privilege, that he can't come up to the throne into the heavens there when the sons of God comes up before God, as he did in the days of Job, and persecute the brethren. He can't do that. He's confined to the earth, and he's about as a roaring lion seeking that he can devour. Who do you think put it in the hearts of Hitler, Mussolini, Hirohito, and even to the Roman Empire to try to destroy the church back then. Who do you think caused that to be? Who do you think put it into the hearts of Herod to kill the children from 2 years old on down, trying to kill the baby Jesus, thinking that he would kill him there and he would never get to lose his throne? But there again, he failed. He didn't survive. He dead and gone. The worms eat him up because people thought that he was somebody and said he wasn't a man, but he was a god. There's a lot of people and preachers into this world today is claiming that they are something that they're not. They're false prophets. My friend, it's come to the time you need to read the word of God and decipher the which is and which ain't. Believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon his name, asking him by his spirit to lead and direct you into the ways of righteousness for his name's sake and for the salvation of your soul. You can't make it without him. There's no way that you can make it into the kingdom without Jesus Christ. He crucified. He died for you. The blood of animals that they sacrificed back in the olden days, it couldn't save us. It just pushed our sins away. But every year it had to repeat over and over again. And when that high priest would take the supposedly that represented the sins outside the tabernacle there, and he put it on the goat, head of a goat, and somebody worthy to take him out into the wilderness represented the sins were taken away from him. But that had to be done every year. But the lamb slain from the foundation of the world came. The man called Jesus came into this world to save and to seek and to save that which was lost. And them that should have known, they should have known who he was, because the scriptures in the prophets of old told them, Israel, how that he were to come, that how he would be born into a little place called Bethlehem of Judea, how he would be there. And they failed. And when they come time and he stood before them there, they said, away with him, because Pilate said, what will I do with your king? He's not our king. We only have one king, and that's Caesar. And away with him, crucify him. That's where they yet today, my friend. The veil is still over the eyes. But one day, that veil is going to be lifted, and they're going to see that one that they hollered, their forefathers hollered, crucify. He was the Lord of glory, came seeking that which was lost, but they denied him. For the purpose for you and I as Gentiles, and all Gentiles, everybody was not born into the kingdom of God, born there in the Jewish nation by naturalization, was outside. They're Gentiles. All those people in the East, they're Muslims and everything. They're not God's chosen people. Muhammad can't do nothing for him. He's a man just like you and I. He died and he's put in a grave and his remains are still there. He's nothing he can do. They false teachers and false religions. It's been the downfall of many nations. Many men and many women have believed these things, have died without the hope being within them, Christ in them, the hope of glory. My friend, it's come time that we begin to read, study the word of God, to show it and to rightly divide it out. Find out who's who and what's what. Find out about some of these false teachers. We've got the churches have come to the place, and what he said that would be a falling away. Some of them won't even have a church, open the doors on the church on Sunday evening. Some of them has quit having any, maybe 2 or 3 hours of Bible study once in a while, because that the people have become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They won't go and attend to the house of worship and pray and keep even to the enough money into it to pay the light bill. So the preacher just said, well, we'll just close it up. We won't have to worry about it. But bills are going to have to go on. They built these big cathedrals, and these people have come and hoodwinked up there. Give, give, and it'll be measured to you, pressed down and poured out and everything. But you got to give to him, and his bank account grows. And they come underneath all this stuff, and all these laws are being passed for the immoralities and everything, insisting that they have as much rights, and God didn't give them no right. He said they was worthy of death, and them that have favor with them. So that means that those judges and those people that are passing these laws against God's law is going to suffer the consequences, and they'll burn in hell if they don't repent. My friend, it's coming to be a touch-and-go situation. If we don't touch the hem of the garment, we will never be able to be healed of our infirmities and our sickness. Sin sickness is the greatest sickness there is. And the only way that we can be healed from that is reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Reach out to Him in supplication and prayer, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You can't make it without Him. There's no need of you and I trying to get into the glory world without the assistance of God, for without Him you can do nothing. But the devil is instigating these things to come along and bring forth damnation to people. They're standing in lines to get a new telephone, and it may be surprising to some of us that these things may be the very downfall of them, because they got to have this, they got to have that. My friend, you need salvation. That you must have. Because all of these other things cannot save your soul from sin. The best device, the electronic device that you can buy, will not save your soul from sin. You can do all kinds of things with computers anymore. They got them now where they claim that these computers can make human parts and guns and so on and so forth like that. People that wants to have guns, if they put a law against guns, then they'll get one of these computers and they'll still have the gun. So where are you at? Violence and lawlessness is all over the land. The only hope we have is in Christ Jesus. These laws was made for the protection. When our forefathers set in order laws to govern us by, they were good laws. But God's laws is even better. When He put it out there, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not have no other gods before you, thou shalt not call upon another name that to declare it to be a god, because it's no other gods. God that created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. When the Spirit of God moved upon the earth, it was void, and He spoke and said that there would be light, and there was life. You see, God is sovereign. He don't need you and I, but we need Him. He brought forth, and He come. The Spirit of God moved, and He created these things, then the fullness thereof. He created them for yours and my needs and necessities, but He created them there and made man there in His own image, and He intended for him to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But because of disobedience, we got flung into a world of sin, and ever since the fall in the garden, God has been trying to bring man back to it. He tried there by the blood of animals. And by the way, when He slew the animals to clothe Adam and Eve, He slew a male and a female. He didn't slew two females. He didn't slew two male, but He slew a male and a female. The robe that the skin that Adam wore was from a male, and the skin that Eve wore was from a female. And these laws that they come along and saying it's all right, male and male and female, it's against God's principles. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah by burning it up, and He's going to judge this world by the same method. And whether you believe it or not, and them that have favor with that kind of stuff, all sin is going to be removed and destroyed. When Jesus come forth as the main sower, He was the Son of God, come and sowed the seed of salvation into the world. He came for the purpose to save men from their sin. He planted the seed of salvation, which was good, but while that they slept, according to the sin, the enemy, the devil, come along and sow tares. But they wanted to take the tares. He said, no, leave them alone. God is looking down, and He knows them that belong to Him. He's looking at the life of those that have been born again, as well as to the life of them that refuse to have Jesus in their life, refuse to repent. And when the end time comes, which is coming soon, when Jesus appears, He said He would send His angels out to gather in the harvest. We told them first to gather the tares, bind them in bundles and throw them in the fire. But to the wheat, he said, gather into his barns. My friend, there's going to be a time that is going to come, and I don't believe it's too much further away down the road. I believe that if we could just barely move back just a space there, we would see that the things is already ready, sitting waiting for the time of the fulfillment to happen to where he'll come and appear in the clouds of glory. He went up in the clouds of glory as he ascended, but there he came forth, and the angel of the Lord standing there, the apostle and them looking and gazing up, and he said, oh, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing and looking up? The same Jesus that you see taken up will come again in the clouds of glory. My friend, we're going to look for him coming in the clouds of glory. If they say it's somewhere or another over here or out yonder or where, don't believe it. Because every eye is going to see and every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. My friend, we need to realize that he's coming one day. I don't know the day or the hour, but I'm looking for him to come. All the things that he said would transpire before his return is being fulfilled. We got the wars and the rumors of war, sickness of all kinds. The storms are created, and all these things that are happening is just a beginning of sorrow. Oh, the old man of sin's going to come forth, and he's going to make war with the saints one more time to try to overcome them. But God's going to deliver them. That devil that man called the devil, he's a slanderer, he's a murderer. And he come forth, and even John marveled at the beauty of the whore in the wilderness there when he carried her out there. And he seen that how she was arrayed with silver and gold, but she had a cup in her hand. The old harlot church had a cup in her hand full of an abomination, and the blood in there that the saints that she had killed during years back and still trying to. They're trying to bring forth destruction upon the world. But I want you to understand, my friend, God's going to come out, and his church is going to be victoriously over all of these things that the devil is trying to do. He can't destroy it. Jesus told Peter and the apostles there on the day when he asked them, whom do people say that I am? He said, some of them says you're the prophet, some of this and some of that. And he asked them, he said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter boldly spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My friend, God is working and he's building in his church. He's adding to it such as would be saved. And people are looking for a great move of the Spirit, and I do would love to see it. But these days have come to the place of wherein that few is going to find him. Few are calling upon him, but many are running to and fro throughout the earth seeking something to please the flesh. They'll go for thousands of miles to please the fleshly desire to watch a ball game, but they won't go down the street to the church to hear the unadulterated word of God. They don't want that. They want pleasure. They want to seek after the things of the world and the life to live as they freely live, to give no glory to God, but to praise them that they are American idols, and this idol and that idol. They become idol worshipers instead of God worshipers. And he said they should happen to have no other gods before them. But because of these things, my friend, God's going to judge the world, and he's going to judge it, and his judgment is going to be righteous. And to them that know not God, when he appears, he's going to say to them that don't know him, as he said to the foolish virgins, when they come and knocked on the door, supposedly to have gotten off, and the door was shut. And they knocked on the door, and he said, whence cometh thou? And he said, Lord, let us in. He said, I don't know. They didn't get in. When the ark of that Noah built, when the door was shut, and the rains began to fall, no doubt that the people began to crowd around the ark, hollering, Noah, let me in, knocking, and trying to climb to the side, but it couldn't be. They couldn't get in because they'd waited too long. They had done lost all the opportunity, was gone, and the time of destruction was upon them. So will it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when they've failed to heed to the call that has went out and has been preached for all these years of the coming day of God, and they have failed to take heed, and they have not repented, and they've come to the place that we're in, they just utterly reject any and all thing that's considered to be righteousness of God. It's trampling the blood of the Savior, Jesus Christ, on their feet because they're not paying any attention. There's going to be a lot of them that claims that they're Christian, but they're not going to enter in, because claiming one thing and being one thing is two different things. I could claim that I was a king, but I'm not. So why claim that I am? But I'm one of the king's children, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because I've asked God to forgive me of my sin. He's cleansed me and recorded my name on the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, them that receive him, he has gave power to become sons of God. So if God is King of Kings, and I have been declared by him through the word, and I am his, a son of God, belonging to him because of repentance and born again, then I am a child of the King. Glory to God. There's no other way we can make it except through the door, my friend. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He come into this world to save you and I. So why not just take some time out of your daily life and just give him praise and honor. Ask him, just ask him as you would anyone, Lord, what would you have for me to do for you? Many of you have went to your boss man and probably said, can I work a little while Saturday? I need some overtime. I have myself. But how many times have you asked the Lord, said God, what can I do for you? How many times have you said that? I've said it quite a few times. Lord, what would you have for me to do for you? When he called me into this ministry, I run for it. I run from it and desired not to do it. But when he come face to face with reality, and I was looking at a wheelchair to be paralyzed and not being able to work, he got my attention. I called upon him. He raised me and kept me out of a wheelchair, put me back on my feet, and I've tried to be a child of his ever since. And on my own feeble ways, by listening to him, by seeking after the kingdom of God with my heart, not with just my lips, but with praise and honor. Oh, I've been jumped on, been persecuted, been flowed about and everything, but that's all right. They done it to him first. And if any man will stand for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, be a child of God, the world's going to persecute you, my friend. They're going to say all manners of things again. They did him, so don't think that you're going to go out and they're going to lift you up, scratch your back, and praise you and all that kind of stuff if you claim to be a child of God. Because a Christian is going to suffer persecution. They have from the time way back, and they will until the Lord comes and takes his church home with him. So we need to understand and to realize that the time is running short. It's time to take time for Jesus. Time to take the time out of your busy schedule of ball games and whatever else it may be that you have planned for your vacation and everything. Plan a time to get right with God. Plan in your, put it in your schedule. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. It's time that we take heed to the warning that God has sent out. There when Noah went out and told them about the flood coming, they didn't believe him. It was all lost but eight souls. Are you going to believe that the time of the end is upon us? If you read your Bible and believe, then it won't catch you unaware, but you'll be prepared. And when that day comes, you will say, come up here, and you will be free from all of the sorrows and the things that's going to come upon them that love not God and his appearing. There's a crown of life laid up for you. But if you're not willing to accept it and sell your birthright, your new birthright, as Esau did his birthright and missed out. If you want to do that and choose the world instead of God, it's your privilege. But I hope you'll choose God. I hope you'll repent, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe upon him, for the time is coming short. It's time we take time for Jesus. It's time we repent and come to the understanding that through him we only have hope and salvation. So as we close at this time, we pray one for another, and I pray that God will touch your life, touch your spirit, and help you to understand today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You need to repent. You need to come to him and change your lifestyle, seeking after the kingdom of God as he would have you to. Ask him to lead and direct you. He will. He'll fill you with his spirit, and he'll come forth and lead and direct you into all righteousness. May God richly bless you until next time. God bless you, and keep praying and seeking God, for the kingdom of God is at hand. May God bless. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.